Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Laura Canfield Show, the Awaken to Happiness Now Global Series. Thank you all so much for being here. And I'm so excited. My good friend Patrick Prochaska is back with us once more. And today we're going to be talking about Lightbridge Bootstrap. And we're going to be talking about that. We're talking about how to get unstuck. We're going to be doing some activations or attunements and taking your live caller questions. So today, it's about how do you pull yourself up by your own bootstraps if you don't have boots, right? So I love the phrase and the question. How do you do that, right? So we're going to talk about all that and so much more. And for those of you who don't know Patrick, he's been on our show many times, and we love having him. It's always a high vibe show, high energy, lots of information and wisdom, and activations and so on. And so as the founder of both the Lightbridge Academy and Charisma Coaching, Patrick has helped thousands of clients and students shine with personal power, joy, and authenticity. And Patrick is the creator of Lightbridge, a revolutionary system for healing and personal transformation that blends law of attraction, life coaching principles with belief, sculpting, and energetic activations. Through Lightbridge Academy, he offers training in the Lightbridge technique, and has established a certification program for professional practitioners. He has a bachelor's degree in history of science and a master's degree in the religions of ancient India, and has studied countless healing systems, including Ayurveda, Reiki, Theta Healing, Aromatherapy, and so much more. Patrick's also the author of Brain Cells, Escape Your Mental Prisons, and other books about Lightbridge. Oh my goodness, I knew I forgot something. He lives in Southern California and is available for lectures, seminars, and workshops around the globe. So... Patrick, welcome to the show. And so, is it possible to increase your volume? You can't hear me very well?
I can hear you perfectly. So, a lot of times people don't realize that there are multiple volume controls on their computer. So, it could be that your main control is turned way up, but another control is turned way down. So,
yeah. So, Barbara, just check your computer and put up your volume. So, Patrick, while you talk a little bit about, being back on our show, what you've been doing lately, I'm going to go and pick up something, okay? So, give me 1 second.
Sounds good. So, thank you so much and welcome, everyone. It's always a joy to be here with Alara because she and I are good friends. I go back several years. I visited her in Vienna a few times, and we always have a magnificent time when we're together. We just click in a way that's really, really beautiful, and that's a little bit rare, So I'm so happy to be here. I'm grateful to Alara. I'm grateful to all of you joining in. So Alara and I decided that we would be talking about how to get unstuck. And one of the reasons why this is so crucial is because you may have like certain arenas of your life that are flowing and everything is functioning on all cylinders, but then there's a certain specific area that's stuck. And no matter what you do, no matter how many healers you go to, no matter how many self-help programs you read, you simply can't get unstuck in that one arena of your life. And then there are other people who essentially are stuck in absolutely every dimension of their life, that the issue that keeps them stuck pervades their love life, their financial life, their personal power. So the goal that I have is to figure out how you get stuck in the first place and what to do about it. And the reason why I think this is so crucial is because in my practice, of course, I operate a healing system called Lightbridge. In order for Lightbridge to work, you have to be at a certain energetic place where you can take control of your life, take responsibility for your thoughts. You can begin to recognize that everything that's going on in your life is in some way conditioned by your inner state, that if you are in a frame of mind where absolutely everything is happening to you, you're a passive victim and everything, it's really hard to get traction with a healing system like Lightbridge. So I developed a course called Lightbridge Bootstrap, which is designed to bridge the gap between being completely and utterly hopeless and stuck and being able to take responsibility for your life and control and make changes. Now, the reason why I think this is so crucial is because for one reason or other in our social environment and the political arena, there's a lot of contempt for people who are stuck. And we blame them for being stuck. And we essentially say to them, if you can't figure out how to do it yourself, then it's your own fault that you're there. And that's really, really sad. And it hurts everyone in society when we have an attitude like that. So the goal, several years ago, there was a professor at a university I was studying a religion class with. And he was one of those people that was really contemptuous of people who couldn't figure out how to take control of their lives. And he was basically saying that everyone needs to pull themselves up by their own bootstraps. And I asked the question, well, if you don't have boots, how do you go about doing that? And that kind of shut down the conversation right there, and I got a bad grade. But so that's what my focus has been the past 6 or 8 months or so on unsticking people who are stuck, essentially. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah.
Awesome. I love that. And, you know, and that's one of my major themes as well in my life is like, you know, we don't have to be stuck, right? That was the point of creating the Awakened Happiness Now global series was to, you know, to let people know that you don't have to be stuck, you know, and there are resources and there are tools and there are ways to get unstuck and move forward with your life, right? So, because I was stuck at one point, you know, like, but I quickly moved out of it. I don't know if you can call it quickly because, you know, I was 42.
It's all a process.
Exactly. It's all good. So one of the things I wanted to mention really quickly before I forget, and this is why I went off screen for a second, was I wanted to share with everybody Patrick's latest book, right? Brain Cells, Escape Your Mental Prisons. So I just got this recently from Amazon, so it is available on Amazon wherever you are in the world, because I'm in Austria and I got it. And, you know, one of the things that I love about this book and about Patrick is that there is a way to change your life. There's a way to change your mental thoughts. You know, people always say, well, I keep having this thing over and over again. I'm stuck. I can't change anything. Nothing is working. There are ways, there are tools. And so today we're going to be talking about, you know, I'm sure Patrick's going to be talking about Brain Cells, Escape Your Mental Prisons, as well as the Lightbridge Bootstrap. It's all about getting you unstuck. It's all about changing your thought patterns, clearing, you know, old traumas and beliefs and patterns that have kind of like become ingrained, but that still doesn't mean that they can't be changed. Right, Patrick?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So some people wear their traumas and their negative thought patterns like a tattoo. It's almost like their aura is tattooed with a negative energy or an imprint of some sort. But tattoos can be removed.
Yes.
It's not an easy process. There is no magic wand where you just touch the tattoo and poof, it's gone. Yeah. And everything changes in your life instantly. And I think that's one of the, I don't really think it's a myth, but it's a pervasive belief system that there should be a magical solution for whatever your issue is. Mm-hmm. Now, we all have these like grand life narratives that are playing out. And our life is like a very well-crafted story that's unfolding. And just think for a moment about your favorite movies or your favorite television show or a book or something. If you have a character in a book who suddenly has a personality transformation, mm-hmm. and they're suddenly living things that are out of character for them, you stop enjoying the book. You lose interest in it. So if success and joy and happiness are out of character for you, and it's unlikely that you're instantaneously going to shift into those things. It's always a process, and sometimes there's some moving backward as you're moving forward. Mm-hmm. There are lessons that need to be learned, and challenges that need to be faced. And I think the place where I really want to start, because I think it's crucial and it doesn't get talked about enough, is a lot of times when we see somebody who's stuck, we give them advice, but we give them advice that's from our perspective as somebody who's not stuck. Mm-hmm. So we don't do what we need to do to understand exactly where they're coming from. And we end up slipping into something that's called toxic positivity. So toxic positivity is when you're, you know, somebody's deep in pain and you're basically just saying, no, just think happy thoughts and it'll go away. You know, yeah. just fake it till you make it. Now, that may be valid advice from one perspective, but for the person who's in pain, that just is essentially blaming them for being in their pain. Yeah. It's almost like going up to a grieving widow at a funeral and saying, ah, just get over it. You know, life goes on, just get over it. Okay, that's twisting the knife. Mm-hmm. So toxic positivity is something that we all need to be aware of. And I think we all do it unwittingly at times. We all give the pithy advice without realizing that it's inappropriate for the person who's in pain. Mm-hmm. So we need to find ways to express what it is we're trying to say in a way that actually takes their pain and their perspective into account. Another thing that kind of goes unquestioned or we don't talk about it enough is called spiritual bypassing. Mm-hmm. And it's a really toxic energy that some people have that is essentially saying that it is anti-spiritual to have human emotions. So if somebody is deep in grief, quite often there's like this attitude that, well, you should be over it by now. It's you being stuck where you are. That's anti-spiritual. Or shame is anti-spiritual. Or if you're a spiritual person, you should never, ever get angry. Nothing should ever bother you. You should have pure equanimity. Now, all of those are human emotions that play a really valuable role in our emotional guidance system. Mm-hmm. And I firmly believe that none of us took on human incarnation in order to live a non-human existence. So that belief system that, oh, shame needs to be purged absolutely 100%. Shame is dark, it's bad, it's evil, get rid of it. You should be completely and utterly free of all feelings of shame. That's not spirituality, that's self-hatred, I would think. Shame, when you really think about it, the energy of shame is essentially a signal that you're stepping on somebody else's boundaries and you need to check yourself. And that's a very, very valuable thing for creating social cohesion.
Right.
The problem is we get stuck in shame, and after we get stuck in shame, we begin to spiral into patterns of living our life that's completely stuck, and we're like encased in mud after a while, and it's hard to get out. That's where the problem is. It's not the shame. It's the knee-jerk reaction of having that shame explode into something even bigger. So so I'm babbling a little bit. But
that's okay. Well, I mean, we are having a human experience, right? And so we are going to have human emotions. And it's okay to have the emotions, but just don't let yourself be controlled by the emotions, right?
Absolutely.
And don't stay stuck in that emotion for too long. You know, I remember saying in one of my calls, you know, an emotion can only last in your body for 70 seconds. If it stays longer than that, it's because now you've tapped into it, you got stuck in it, and you're like just gone deep into it. But if you just let it flow through you, it's out in 70 seconds. But we tend to get caught up in it, you know. But we're going to have emotions, and they're not good or bad or right or wrong. It's just observing, and sometimes those emotions are telling you something about what you're thinking, what your thought process is, where you're at, and it'll give you some evidence, like you were saying, to check.
Absolutely. So let me modify that just a slight bit. If you're having a feeling of anger, mm-hmm. and the reason you're in anger is because that anger is sending you a message that you need to stand up for yourself in a certain way, but you don't do anything about it. You just wait for the anger to pass and you go on with your life. Okay, that's an invitation for more anger to come in. Mm-hmm. So I would say that if you do something about the emotion, if you listen to the message that it's sending you,
exactly.
and you take action in order to fix it, then the energy will flow through you and it will be gone.
Yeah, exactly. But you have to be aware of what that is triggering. You know, like there's a reason for the anger showing up. But it's not about then suddenly, you know, being angry for 5 hours, you know, is what I'm saying. The actual emotion doesn't have to stay that long.
Of course. Now, how many of us on this call have been taught that we're not supposed to be angry, mm-hmm. or that we're not supposed to express anger, or there are certain people such as your father or your mother that you're never supposed to express anger toward? Those are the people that we get mad at the most when we're growing up. And sometimes those are the very people that we're forbidden mm-hmm. to ever express anger to. So what do we learn to do? We learn to push it down, or we learn to direct it at a third party who's uninvolved.
Right.
So both of these are really dangerous patterns for human beings. If you push that anger down and ignore it, it gets stuck in your energy field and you become an angry person. You kind of exude this energy of contempt everywhere you go. Mm-hmm. And that colors your relationships, it colors your romantic relationships, your work life, and so forth. And people naturally avoid you. Mm-hmm. The only people that gravitate towards you are the people who enjoy anger and drama. And then everything kind of mushrooms. The second solution is even worse, where somebody will feel anger, they know they can't express the anger in an appropriate way, so they find a third party to dump it on. Mm-hmm. And this is how bullying begins. This is how the shadow begins to emerge. This is how we begin to project. We learn to project what we hate about ourselves onto other people and punish it in them. So, you know, and a lot of this happens in early childhood. As we're being trained, these are the places where people get stuck for their entire lives.
Right.
So.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, and it becomes a pattern, and it, you know, it becomes your way of being, and you don't even recognize it. Sometimes you don't even know, right? And so a lot of times, you know, people don't know how to shift out of that, and they can't shift out of it automatically unless they have like a near-death experience or something, right? And they don't know how to transition out of that or move into a safer way of being or a more holistic way of being or a more empowered way of being. So let's talk about the bootstrap analogy. So, you know, okay. I guess boots with straps, those were like back in the olden days, right? All I can think of are like cowboy boots. They have the straps on them.
Yeah, but it's a really common expression and you hear it a lot here in the United States, especially among more conservative-minded people. So there's the belief system that people who grow up in an impoverished state or mm-hmm. an underprivileged state, that the amount of support you offer them should be limited because otherwise, if you support them too much, you make them lazy. Mm. So the attitude is that if you grow up in an underprivileged environment, you should be able to, through your own power, lift yourself up, pull yourself out of the mud by grabbing a hold of your bootstraps and just pulling them up and out. And that's simply not the way it works. So now some of the things that can empower people who are stuck, you know, we've been talking about trapped emotions mm-hmm. and how emotions like shame or anger, even though they're not inherently bad, they can get imprinted in your energy field and they get imprinted in your energetic signature like an invisible tattoo, and you project that energy everywhere you go. So in a sense, your energetic signature is like a symphony. It's thousands of different notes being played mm-hmm. all at once. It's not true that you're at one energetic point at all times, or like there's one specific number that's your energy. You're a symphony. You're thousands of different chords playing simultaneously. And the tattoo on your energy field that's left over from a traumatic experience gets encoded into your energy field. It's like a sour note mm-hmm. that plays in the background of the symphony that you're constantly broadcasting. And whatever energy you broadcast to the world, whatever energy you project, gets reflected back to you. So that invisible tattoo, whatever it is, it's constantly projected back to you.
Yeah.
And you, it creates opportunities for you to relive that experience, even if you don't remember what the original trauma was. Mm-hmm. And yeah. In some cases, it gets encoded into our brains, and we develop triggers. We develop like tripwires that can cause us to cascade into anger or cascade into jealousy, cascade into shame with no control whatsoever. So one of the first steps is to kind of soothe the trauma that created the triggers and release the triggers so that people can live their lives not reactively but proactively.
And, awesome. So how can, you know, let's say I've had a lot of shame in my energy field from lots of different events and situations and so on in my life. Like, you know, let's just say, I don't like the word shame, so let's go with anger. Okay. Yeah. Like, I can do that one. How is that keeping me stuck?
Yeah, it keeps you stuck because what happens is, as you broadcast the energy of the shame, as you broadcast the energy of the anger, you begin to attract into your life people who are angry and shameful. Mm-hmm. So the energy that you're broadcasting causes you to attract to you a circle of friends who support you in your anger or shame. So they'll tell you that you deserve to be angry, or that it's right for you to have an emotional reaction of some sort. One of the principles that I think is foundational, and I repeat it several times in my work and in the book that you held up, mm-hmm. is that whatever you believe you deserve, whatever you subconsciously believe you deserve, you will attract into your life people who are more than happy to give that to you. You will always attract into your life people who are willing to prove your subconscious beliefs about yourself right. Mm-hmm. So if you believe deep down inside that you're unworthy of success, even though in the external world you're striving for success and you're climbing the corporate ladder and so forth, if you believe internally that you don't deserve success, you will attract to you people that will prove to you that you don't deserve success. And they'll block you, or they'll knock you down, or some sort of self-sabotage will emerge. And right. What you believe about yourself will become a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Got it.
So
it is all about those subconscious beliefs and how they really are running our life. And it's like an overlay or a film over our entire life. Those subconscious beliefs, what we believe about ourselves. And sometimes we don't even know what they are. But I think that if you really do go, you know, do a real honest introspection of your life, you'll know what those are. Some of them, maybe not all of them, but some of them. Go ahead.
Well, a lot of people are not in a place where they can honestly look at their lives. Mm-hmm. All of us have a shadow. All of us have those elements of ourselves that we're so embarrassed about or ashamed of that we kind of shut them off. We all have fractured personas. And when you have a fractured persona, it's really hard for you to, you know, objectively analyze what's going on in one of those fractures. Mm. So if I, for example, let's say I was shamed as a child. Let's say that I was a young child exploring my body in a natural, normal way, and my mother came along and slapped me and screamed at me and said, never touch yourself or anything like that. Mm-hmm. That shame, you know, you're too young to analyze and figure out what's going on. You just know that this godlike figure has punished you for doing something that children naturally do. Mm-hmm. And you push that shame down, and it's there. It's constantly running in the background, but you're not going to want to look at it. You know, it's hard in a case like that to just like consciously, objectively go back and say, okay, this is what happened, and this is the lesson I learned that was faulty, and this is what I should know instead. a lot of that has to be uncovered through subconscious digging techniques that allow you to figure out what the subconscious beliefs are, even if they're completely and utterly in contradiction to what you cognitively believe. Mm-hmm. And a lot of us have beliefs about ourselves that we hold on the conscious level that are completely at odds with what we really believe about ourselves on a subconscious level.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, I can definitely see that. So Carolyn is asking a really good question. Do we ever get clear, or is healing a forever from being in human form? And what does stuck mean? Does it mean not manifesting what we want?
That's a good definition of it, I would say. If there's something that you truly desire, that's actually kind of a pure desire, you know, a desire to see somebody get punished or grudge energy, I wouldn't include anything like that in this. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But if you have a desire that's uplifting for you and it's of benefit for all parties involved, but you are impeded from accomplishing that, you're stuck in some way. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the time, what we do is when we're stuck, we blame external circumstances for the fact that we're stuck, not realizing that the core, what attracted those external circumstances in the first place is our internal state. So that's kind of it in a nutshell. So what was the other question? Do we ever get clear? So I guess it defines what clear means. I guess it depends on what clear is.
Yeah.
I think it's possible for you to have a vibrant, successful, beautiful, fulfilling, and joyful life and still be laden with trauma from previous lifetimes and in early childhood. So it's absolutely not necessary for you to be 100% clear of all of your traumas and all of your internal thoughts that are potentially negative in order for you to have joy. Mm-hmm. In fact, I would say that you don't really need to be clear much at all to experience joy. And once you experience joy, you'll want to stay there. So
the not manifesting what you want, it's there's usually something stuck around that, you know? Not being worthy, not willing to receive, not willing to change things. Maybe, you know, not right, Caroline. I think she said she's on the phone somewhere. Caroline, if you can just unmute yourself.
Hello.
There you are.
So, let me put it this way: there are many, many different reasons why you might be stuck. So, the most common ones involve belief systems, like primary foundational belief systems, such as it's impossible for me to have this, it's forbidden for me to have this, it's dangerous for me to have this, I don't know who I am if I do have this, or another way of putting that is the problem that I'm in right now defines who I am as a person, and I won't know who I am if I get rid of that. The current situation serves me in some way. So those are like some of the really common reasons why people are stuck. Mm-hmm. And it could be any or all of those. And sometimes the reason that you're stuck is actually in a different arena of your life. So it can be fairly complex at times. So an example of that. Let's say, for example, that you have severe financial problems and you're just never able to make ends meet. You never have surplus in your life. And you assume that the core reason for that has something to do with finances and deserving money. It could actually be the case that you have a horrific fear of romance. And not having money is the easiest way for you to avoid romance. So not having money serves the purpose of dealing with a trauma in a completely different arena of your life. And sometimes our blockages are interrelated in a circular fashion. For example, I can't lose weight until I start exercising, but I can't start exercising until I lose some weight. So that's like a circular thing where you need to disentangle those and address them separately.
So are you speaking of that because you're talking to me directly?
Probably. Did that resonate with you?
Oh, so, yes.
I was laughing. I have, it's like, oh my goodness.
Fear of intimacy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
money problems, you know, so it's like.
Yeah. I just say what pops out of my mouth, so it may have been directed at you because you raised the question.
Some people might look at me and say, you don't have money problems because you have a full-time job. And I have clients on the side as well. So I'm really busy with my gifts and my regular job. But I still can't pay off my mortgage. So
you're still not living in surplus. You don't have money flow. I mean, you have money flowing, but it's never enough for you to have more than just making ends meet.
Yes.
So now you said something really interesting that kind of struck a chord. It's that other people say that you have money. It almost feels like there's an element of you needing to explain to other people your narrative of not having money. It's like, this is my story, and if somebody tells me or somebody assumes that I have money, I need to prove them wrong. So that's something to clear there. It's like this feeling that it makes you uneasy if somebody assumes that you have money and you have to go out of your way to show them that you don't. Does that make sense?
Yes, beautiful being. That is so who I am.
So what you're doing is you're owning your narrative. And it's, you know, the next time it happens, see what it feels like to say, yeah, I have money. And just let it be. And
start to change your narrative a little bit.
Yeah, to change the narrative. Now, this is a really common thing that gets people stuck. It's living out your narrative, clinging to your stories, feeling like your story defines who you are, and any change in your story is resisted because it wouldn't fit your character arc. A lot of us really do this. I've known people, for example, who I've mentioned this person a few times before, a friend of mine who had been orphaned as a child, and even in his 40s, he was going around telling people that he was an orphan. Mm. When at that stage in his life, it really shouldn't matter very much. He doesn't need to tell that story. There's another person I know who is deeply, deeply stuck in his narrative and all of his early childhood traumas. And he has this really bizarre habit of whenever he says something positive, he has to link it to the negative experiences of his childhood in some way. So for example, he'll say, I feel fantastic today. And that's really amazing considering the crappy childhood I had. Mm-hmm. if that's a habit that you have in any arena, it's good to be aware of that. A lot of times it's hard for us to say something positive about ourselves and just let it be. It feels like it's arrogant to say something positive about yourself, or it's a lie. So we have to like qualify our positives to the people around us and explain that, you know, here's the context for this positive energy.
You're so beautiful and an amazing light. I finally get to talk to you face to face. Thank you,
Caroline.
Thanks, beautiful.
All right, I'm gonna mute you. There you go. So that's a big thing, you know. Clinging to our story, right? Clinging to our narrative and reiterating it at every opportunity, right? What it does, it strengthens that story even more each time we say it out loud, right? I just want to point out to something that Tina just wrote in the chat. She said, interesting, I just realized my fear of not making enough financially at doing what my heart wants was actually already projecting shame at me for not being financially secure over a situation that hasn't even happened, you know? It's like, that's awesome to get that aha and that realization to see, you know, how that shame is already projecting, you know, and now you can change it, right? Now you can look at it and say, you know what, it's okay, you know, or clear something. maybe that's something that Patrick can work on a little bit later.
Okay. So Alara, where do you feel directed to go now?
Where do I feel directed to go now? So, you know, I still want to talk about, you know, getting unstuck, moving forward, right? So that we feel empowered to create the life that we want, right? So how can we, you know, okay, let, you know, yes, we have all sorts of different emotions. We have all sorts of subconscious beliefs that we're all working with, you know, known and unknown, but what can we do differently now to have more ease, get a little bit more unstuck, you know, and be able to have some of those awarenesses of finding out where those subconscious beliefs are functioning so that we have, you know, then we can do something about it.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting that there's a really easy tool for figuring out where you're stuck. If there's an area of your life that you're frustrated with or you're angry about, then you're stuck in that area. Mm-hmm. So it should be pretty clear to everyone where their sticking points are. The question is, why are they stuck in the first place? So I mentioned the either like shoving down of emotions or projecting those emotions onto others. I mentioned the emotional triggers that cause us to react instantaneously in an exaggerated way rather than reacting proactively. And I mentioned trauma. So mm-hmm. I think that trauma is a really important place for us to look a little bit closer.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
Every single one of us has events in our lives where the negative experience was so overwhelming that we weren't able to process the energy of the experience in the moment.
Yeah.
You have something bad happen to you, but you're not in a position to deal with it, the only thing you can do is shove it down.
Mm-hmm.
And most of us shove it down and never return to it. It just stays shoved down. So those traumatic experiences from childhood, for example, including like sex abuse or being punished for eating too large a slice of cake or something like that. That's what happened to me. My mom baked me a birthday cake. I had a slice of it. I went back a little bit later and I had another slice of it. And oh boy, was I punished for that.
Oh,
that
man.
Was like the worst thing that could happen. So here I was, you know, I had this traumatic experience of being punished for eating birthday cake,
mm-hmm.
which had been offered to me by the person who punished me for eating it. So they'd like had this whole cascade of food-based shame mm-hmm. and food-based pleasure issues that got programmed in. So that trauma, you know, as a child, you cry and you let some of it loose, but the rest of it, you just kind of shove down. And when it gets shoved down, it gets imprinted into your energy field. Mm-hmm. It gets broadcast for the rest of your life, and you attract opportunities to repeat the experience. So future shameful experiences associated with eating cake would emerge.
Right.
And sure enough, on my very next birthday, my mom flew me to California. My grandmother baked a cake. And what I did was I ate the frosting instead of the cake. I mm-hmm. left the cake behind and I just ate the frosting.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, I was like beaten for eating my cake wrong. So right. It's like these things repeat. Wow. So when you have a traumatic experience, it doesn't need to be something as explicit as sexual abuse or incest, or being punished for eating wrong. It can be day-to-day frustrations and day-to-day disappointments. The same thing happens when you live disappointment over and over and over again. You eventually just shove it down.
Mm-hmm.
You learn to cope with the pain. You develop strategies for tolerating the pain. And instead of releasing the pain, you just program it in. Right. You come to a place where you expect the pain. And whatever you expect, you create the energy for in your life. So by having the expectation that bad things are going to happen to you, you are like setting the stage for those bad things to emerge. And then they do, and then that's like self-validating evidence that your expectations were true, and it just all circles deeper and deeper and deeper and gets more firmly entrenched.
Right.
So
what can we do about that?
What can you do about that? So you don't always need to know exactly what the trauma is. What you need to do is get to a place where you can remember the traumatic experience if you want to, without reliving the traumatic experience. Mm-hmm. You need to get to a place where you can be reminded of the traumatic experience without falling into the energy of the traumatic experience. So the trauma, that energy that's pushed down, needs to be neutralized. It doesn't mean that you necessarily need to forget that it ever happened or rewrite your narrative or pretend like you never had that experience. You have to like clear the energy that the experience sparks in you, so that, you know, it doesn't resonate anymore in the present. So there are all sorts of trauma clearing techniques. In Lightbridge, of course, I have this trauma clearing protocol that I use, where essentially I allow the person to understand what really happened in that experience from the perspective of their higher self, and then let go of anything that causes them to relive it as they're thinking about it. It's a pretty simple process.
Awesome. So is that something you want to do today, or?
Oh, gosh. Or
do we want to take some, or do we want to take some questions?
Let's take questions. Yeah.
So Sarla has her hand raised for a while. So Sarla, I'm going to go ahead and unmute you. Hold on one second. Hello.
Yes.
Hi.
Hello. Yes. I am
Hi.
Here in Australia.
Hi.
Hi.
Now.
Welcome. Yeah. It's very early for you.
No, I get up early, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, my usual habit.
Perfect. So what's your question today, Sarla?
Nothing. Just I wanted to raise and talk something. No particular thing. I mean, you can deal with anything. I mean, up to Patrick, you choose actually. Relationship, we have talked about more than 40 years. I haven't got a life partner. And I know you are in the same boat, Patrick. And all, you know, it is not that I am, I would love to have that much wealth that it is flowing in saucer. So I can share rather than, you know, that. Or I have habit of, and maybe I am treated, healed now, habit of being martyr, you know,
martyr.
In my life.
Martyr,
and
yeah.
Very attracted to suffering people. Oh, just all over the world, any suffering, I want to, how can I heal and help them?
Okay.
So
okay.
You pick up. Yeah, I'm
okay.
Giving you a choice, Patrick.
Okay, awesome. Sarla, thank you.
I let me kind of connect in with everyone who's here on the call right now. And okay, let me start by pouring some energy into the power center for everyone who's on the call right now, because as I was connecting, I got this really amazing twisting energy right in the pit of the stomach, and that's where the power center is. So let me just soothe that energy a little bit for everyone here. Okay. Now, what I would like to do for everyone is help you manage your empathy in a way that's of benefit to all parties involved, including you. A lot of you feel like the weight of the world is on your shoulders. And wherever you see suffering in the world, your heart goes out to those people. And that's a beautiful place to be. But when you layer on top of that a belief system that says that you're not allowed to enjoy yourself, or you're not allowed to have happiness or to have fun so long as somebody somewhere else is suffering, then you're really setting yourself up for illness and sadness yourself. So let me clear that away first. Anywhere and everywhere you have believed that just because you sense that somebody else is in pain, it's automatically your duty to help them fix that pain. Let's get the truth about that and clear that away. Okay, it doesn't mean that you don't have compassion. It doesn't mean that you don't help other people. It merely means that it's not your obligation to do it. If you help somebody else, you do it because you want to, not because you're obligated to as a duty. So let's clear that away. There's a subtle difference there that's really important. Okay, and now if you find yourself in a place where somebody else is in pain, but you're not in a position to help or send energy or do a healing on them or anything like that, let's clear away any and all guilt that's associated with you recognizing somebody else's pain but not being able to do anything about. So a lot of you carry a huge, thick film of guilt that's enmeshed in your empathy. So let's wash that away. Okay. Beautiful. And now let's increase your ability to manage your empathy effectively. That is to turn it down or turn it off when you're going into an environment where you know that there are a lot of people that are agitated or suffering in some way. So, for example, if you're going shopping in a place where there are lots of people, it's really useful to be able to turn down your empathy in that moment. So let's install that. Okay. And then for Sarala in particular, you have a lot of duties and obligations directed at family members. So let's relieve you of those duties and obligations. And for everyone else on the call who feels like somehow you have to put everything in your life on hold when somebody else in your family is having a crisis of some sort, it's not always your duty to come running and help. In those cases, you just want to relieve the guilt associated with you living your life on your terms, even if somebody else in your family disapproves or, okay, there we go. Okay, beautiful. Now, everyone take a really deep breath and hold it for a moment. And then this is to integrate that. Now, let's release that breath. Okay, there we go. Okay, and I see Alara's yawning. That's a good sign. That's always a good sign. So.
Yes, thank you. Hold on, Sarala. I see you talking. 1 second. Go ahead. Sarala?
Yes?
What were you saying? Yes,
I loved it, what you did, you know, family obligation. Yes, if somebody's suffering more, life-threatening, I will hold my healing and put money for them to be healed because there is more important. I do for love, actually, but what Patrick did, yes.
It is awesome.
It is just my heart. That's me, you know.
Yeah. So that opens up a topic that I think is really important, and that's the issue of commiseration. Now, I know that several of you on the call are energy healers and you even have professional practices. And you're always told to meet your client where they are. But if meeting your client where they are means joining them in their pain, then you're really not in a position to help anybody. Now, this is something that we all do in our day-to-day lives. We have a friend who's in pain and we commiserate with them. We join them in that energetic pattern of whatever the pain is. If you're at work and there's a coworker who's really upset and angry because somebody else at work did something disrespectful, you join them in that anger. You bring yourself into their energy. Commiseration is often confused with compassion. Commiseration is not compassion. Commiseration is joining somebody in their pain, which means what you do is you take the energy that's in the system and you bring it down to the lowest common denominator. That is where the pain is. Compassion means supporting and uplifting somebody by staying in your high vibrational state as you're comforting them in their pain. So in order to commiserate and in order to have compassion, it's really, you know, you short circuit the entire process when you lower your energy to that person's state. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like the thing that Einstein supposedly said that it's impossible to fix a problem at the energy at which, at the level of energy at which the problem presents itself. Mm-hmm. You have to approach problems from a higher energy. So like if you're in an office working environment and you have the office water cooler where everyone gathers around to gossip about the problems at work and complain about the boss and complain about the work environment, all that does is lower everyone's morale. It doesn't solve the problem. It doesn't lift anyone up. So that's really important to be aware of. Now, the reason I mention it with Sarala is because you kind of have that pattern with your family. Mm-hmm. So when somebody in your family is suffering, you kind of bring yourself into their level of energy. And that doesn't lift them up. It doesn't solve the problem. It just depletes your energy. And it becomes harder to help in the future.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you. Thank you, Sarala. So Maria was saying, it seems most of my life is blocked, been clearing. I'm happier now, looking forward to enjoying manifesting my dream. I'm not sure what the next part is. Can you assist my not seeing, I think, and what is blocking my third eye and intuition flow? I have been told I have fire in my lower body.
Yeah. that's not necessarily bad. Mm-hmm. Fire in the lower body can be good. I'm a huge fan of fire in the belly. That's like charisma. But anyway, Maria is, her core personality, belief systems about who she is, who she's supposed to be, what she's supposed to do with her life, what she's supposed to believe, all of that, almost all of that has been imposed upon her by family members and religious figures and authority figures. So Maria, like a lot of us, is deeply infused with all of the phony limitations and phony expectations that were imposed on her in order to make her a productive member of the family and of society. So she was never given the space to choose for herself who she is and what she wants to do. And in fact, she may have been punished for doing things that were out of alignment with other people's visions of her. And therefore, she learned to go with the flow and do what other people say. So I want to kind of help clear this for everyone. I want to bring this to a broader place for everyone. So through our connection, if you've disconnected from me, let's reconnect in. I'd like to bring into your conscious awareness in a way that is not infused with anger or sadness or frustration, a deeper awareness of all of the ways in which you have absorbed, without question, limitations that were imposed upon you by others. All of the things that you were told that you cannot do, you're not supposed to do, you're bad if you do them, that you really would like to do, but you're not doing them because somebody else disapproves. Just kind of allow that to bubble up and emerge and disconnect the shame and frustration and sadness associated with all of that. So you can begin to live life on your terms rather than on somebody else's vision. Okay, and this goes for all of the bogus expectations as well. All of the things that you've been told that you must do in order to honor the family or fit in society that you really don't have any interest in doing. Okay. Okay, but the core principle, just going a little bit deeper than that, is never having been given permission to choose for yourself who you are and what you want to do with your life. And when that happens, when you're in a state like that, what you end up doing is asking other people, seeking validation from other people, almost asking permission from other people for things that you want to do in your life. So let's kind of open that up in such a way that if there's something that you want to do, you do it because you want to do it, not because somebody else has given you permission. Okay, beautiful. So let's lock that in with a deep breath. And release. Okay.
Okay. That was a heavy duty one. It's like, oh my goodness.
Yeah, that was almost too broad. that covered a lot of territory.
Mm-hmm. I can definitely relate to that one. So definitely thank you. So Delight Sunshine has her hand raised. Delight Sunshine, I'm gonna go ahead and unmute you.
Hi Alara.
Hi.
I love you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hi Patrick.
Hi.
Thank you for all the good work. Patrick, I feel I know I'm strong. The only thing is now I feel like when I'm trying to defend myself, well, which I shouldn't even try, but it's like I feel they do things behind my back, and I feel energetically like my heart, back chakra through my heart back, from my back behind, they inject their manipulations. And when things happen, instead of me being able to be confident and to defend myself, somehow, maybe because my back is open, it needs to be closed to have protection. So I have my own power and to defend myself. If you can help me with that, I really appreciate that. Okay. Because when it is like this,
like, who is they?
Okay,
I think
it is. Okay, for example, whomever. They did black magics, or right now there is a case which they are misusing their power. Okay. And they are also, I feel they use the black magic or the inner power or power to manipulate.
Okay, so let me clear that fear first of all, because it's absolutely essential to clear that. If you have surrounded yourself by people who want to practice black magic on you, there is something inside you that is attracting those people, and that's where we need to end up. So there's something that is causing you to attract those people to come into your life. Now, I want to challenge and flip on its head a different opinion of what's going on. Because when you immediately started talking, before you even got the first sentence out, rather than being unprotected, it's clear to me that your body is very, very heavily protected with all sorts of heavy shielding that's weighing you down. You are encased in body armor. And you're walking through life with an energy of bracing for impact. And when you're overprotected, when you're wearing all that body armor, when you're walking through life bracing for impact, the energy that you're projecting out into the world is bad things are happening to me, I need to protect myself, and then that's what you attract. So let's kind of flip this over. It's not that you're unprotected, it's not that you're wide open, It's that you're overly laden with protective barriers. So let's clear that away. Let's actually, first of all, develop an awareness of how you have kind of closed inward like this, and you're bracing for impact as you're walking through life. It's like your energy is like squeezing inward. So let's open that up and loosen that and remove that shielding, because that shielding essentially has like printed on it like a kick me button. You know, the whole point of having the shielding is to protect you when somebody kicks you, and therefore it invites the kick. So you need to remove it. It's like the opposite of what you were expecting. Okay, now the problem with doing this is it feels uncomfortable, it feels awkward, it feels alien for you not to have that shielding. So you're in resistance to letting it go. So let's kind of allow it to slip off of you naturally over time and increase your level of comfort opening yourself. Okay. And now for everyone on the call, if you find yourself in a position where you're attracting into your life people who attack you, people who criticize you or put you down, who put curses on you, who do black magic against you, let's get to the core of whatever it is inside you that's broadcasting a signal that says, those are the people I want in my life. And let's eradicate that right now, whatever it is. Okay, and let's strip it out of your narrative, the stories that you tell about yourself. Strip it out of your history. Strip it out of your family history. Beautiful. Now, everyone, take a really deep breath and hold it for a moment. And release when you're ready. Okay. That was completely unexpected. So I don't know how she's reacting to that.
So yeah, Duane, how are you doing? Good?
Thank you, Patrick. The thing that you said, it's maybe because I have no desire with black magic, or maybe, well, I hate it.
That's it, the word hate. Aversion is magnetic. Mm-hmm. It's like straight out of Buddhist philosophy. You know, the three poisons are craving something, being averse to something, and ignorance. So whenever you hate something, you empower it to come into your life. Whenever you are in aversion to something and you simply can't stand it, that's called away from energy. And anytime you have away from energy, the thing that you're trying to escape is empowered. Mm-hmm. And it follows you wherever you go. And I know this from experience in the restaurant industry. Every single restaurant job I ever had, I absolutely detested. And I couldn't stand to be in that job another day, so I would move on to a different job. Not realizing that the motivation for leaving was hatred for drama and chaos, and therefore that's what I would step into wherever I would go. The geographical solution never, ever works. Running away from something carries it with you. And sometimes it gets worse and worse and worse and worse until you finally learn the lesson that that's not what you're supposed to be doing. So for me, like what I should have been doing, the energetic orientation I should have had was if I was dissatisfied with my current job, I needed to pour my energy into what I desired instead. And think about all the conditions of the dream job that I really wanted to have, and then search for it, rather than saying, I can't stand it here anymore, I'm leaving now.
Yeah, so thank you for that, Delight. so you know what they say, whatever you resist persists, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome, thank you. So we're going to take a few more questions in just a moment. It's just a few minutes. We're having a request for something specific, so we're going to do that in just a minute. But I want to talk a little bit about the Lightbridge Bootstrap program, so and the special offer. So for those of you who are on the live page. You can just click on special offer. And those of you who are not, you can go to alara.at/show/Patrick8. And I'm going to bring up the special offer on the page, Patrick, so that you can talk about it, okay? As well. So here we go. Let me just show it as we talk about it. Awesome. Good.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
Oh, that looks good. Okay, so Lightbridge Bootstrap is a course that I taught through Lightbridge Academy. And the it's in Lightbridge Academy, it's Lightbridge 102. Lightbridge Level 1, the introductory course on how to do Lightbridge healing, that's Lightbridge 101. So this is like a supplemental course for that course, but it is a beautiful standalone. I just taught the course about 6 weeks ago, and I have to say that it is, of all the courses I've ever taught, it was by far my favorite. When I was developing it, everything flowed and fell into place. As I was teaching it, I had more fun than I've ever had before. And I think it shows in the product, in the course itself. So the course has a number of different lectures and energy alignment sessions. The very first lecture is like an opening video lecture that was recorded live, in which we talk about how people get stuck, why people stay stuck, what people can do about it, and we put some special emphasis on issues like toxic positivity, spiritual bypassing, family traditions, and so forth. The next section is it's kind of paired up. There's a mini lecture on the hostile universe, which is being in the belief system that the universe is against you, that the universe is hostile, it's a dog-eat-dog world. If you believe that the universe is hostile, then you will live in a hostile universe in your experience. And then there's an attunement session to clear that belief system. And then learned helplessness. We all know what that is. It's that feeling of nothing is ever going to work for me that gets hardwired into the brain. And once it's wired into the brain, that's the only thing you know to live. So learned helplessness, and then there's a clearing session on victim consciousness. Next, there's the issue of self-worth. If you don't believe you deserve happiness and success, you will sabotage happiness and success when it comes to you, and you'll attract into your life people who want you to be unhappy and unsuccessful. And then we have a self-love Lightbridge attunement session after that. Self-love is the key to absolutely everything. If you can love yourself exactly as you are right now, unconditionally, it opens the gateway for you to improve yourself in all sorts of different ways. Next, there's the issue of energy and envy and grudge energy. And grudges are extremely poisonous. It's the feeling that somebody else must suffer in order for you to have relief or to be happy. And when you want somebody else to suffer, you block yourself from ever being happy. You inflict suffering on yourself. And envy is that feeling that you are angry at somebody else because they have something that you don't. Well, if you're angry at somebody for having something that you don't, you're blocking yourself from having it, because ultimately you would be angry with yourself if you did have it. So we do some clearing on that. Self-confidence is the next infusion attunement session. Next, there's resilience, which I think is the key to almost everything that I do. Resilience is the ability to process setbacks and challenges with grace and ease. And it's the ability to recover quickly when you do have a setback, such as a physical illness or an unexpected bill. And then we do a resilience attunement session. Next, there's the issue of commiseration, which I've already talked about. And then we have our closing Q&A session, where we kind of tie together some loose ends. And that final session's a video session. And then there are some bonuses. There's an attunement for optimism. There's a trauma clearing session. There's a mini workshop on money flow, and opening up multiple streams of revenue. And then there's a mini workshop on brain power. And those were recorded live, and I think they're about 90 minutes long each. So they're pretty powerful. And the package is $97. When you register for it, you'll get instructions on how to enroll in the class in Lightbridge Academy. Mm-hmm. And that's where it's housed.
Awesome. Thank you. Yes, you'll get all the information about how to access the program really easy. So it's not hard, but you do have to register for it on the Lightbridge Academy, meaning create an account and a password. But yeah, all of that for $97. Also, please do take a look at it. And this is a surefire way to help you get started on getting unstuck in different areas of your life, and have those patterns, you know, those subconscious beliefs that are, you know, that tattoo we talked about slowly gets lighter and lighter, you know, because it does take time. There's no magic pill or magic bullet, so it's not like automatically, but you will start to notice a difference and a shift in your energy field and the way that you start to think and in what you start to see and experience in your outer world. Right, Patrick?
Absolutely. Very well said.
Awesome. Thank you. And so those attunements are, you know, attunements, clearing sessions, downloads, you know, they're a combination of all of that in those sessions as well. Right? Because sometimes, yeah, you know, we use the word download, sometimes we use activation, sometimes we use attunements.
Yeah, for me, they all have specific meanings. So not to get too technical, I typically don't use the word download, because download implies information coming from an external source. Mm-hmm. And all of this is already inside you. All of this knowledge, all of this information is in you, and you just need to allow it to emerge. You need to remember what you've forgotten. So download isn't, you hardly ever hear me use that word. At activations and attunements, and activation is where you essentially turn something on. So mm-hmm. you can have DNA activation. So we all have dormant DNA in our bodies, and right. you can turn on those codes in order to enjoy whatever the coding is. And attunement is where the rubber hits the road for me. So I do Lightbridge attunements. Any kind of attunement is an activation that brings you into alignment with a template or a blueprint of some sort. So a Lightbridge attunement essentially draws an energetic template or blueprint from your higher self and brings you and your current egoic persona into alignment with it. Mm-hmm. So if we're doing, for example, an attunement for joy energy, what it does is it takes the model of what joy is, how it's experienced and how it's understood by your higher self, and offers it to you and your current egoic persona. It's really easy to do because you are your higher self. Mm-hmm. You're just, you know, seeing through goggles and wearing masks that prevent you from recognizing your status as your higher self. Plus, you're in a three-dimensional reality in a physical body, and the higher self doesn't have those physical limitations.
So Chris is asking, so we're not going to use the word download, but we're going to use the word Lightbridge attunement. We're going to use the term Lightbridge attunement for what she's asking for. She's asking for a Lightbridge attunement around enjoying healthy, happy, and long-lasting relationships.
Okay.
And so somebody else is also asking for that as well.
Yeah, so a couple of things really technically. We can download, which would, in my mind, is allowing the information to emerge. So what I want to do is invoke in you an understanding of, what was it, joy?
Enjoying healthy, happy, and long-lasting relationships.
Yeah, so how to and what it feels like to enjoy healthy and long-lasting relationships, as that's understood by your higher self. We can allow that to emerge and bubble up from within you.
Awesome.
Okay. So in a sense, this is what would be called a download. Okay. And then an attunement is something more powerful than that. It's bringing you into energetic alignment with that energy as it's experienced by your higher self. So let's do an attunement for that right now. Now, I do this cautiously because you may have blockages that prevent you from accepting that alignment. You may believe that you're unworthy of that, or that it's dangerous to have that, or that there are unexpected consequences. For example, you can never trust anyone and they always betray you. There could be blockages in place. But setting that aside, let's just do the attunement itself. So at this time, simply allow yourself in your current egoic persona to come into energetic alignment with joyful romantic love as that's understood and experienced by your higher self. And anything and everything that stands in the way of you coming into alignment, whatever it is, let's rectify that now. Let's clear it away as well. Now, if I were working with you one-on-one, we would be getting very specific here. And in fact, we would get extremely specific. But for now, we're just keeping it broad and open. Now, I'm feeling a really intense, not burning, but a painful pressure right at the sternum. Okay, right in the area at the bottom edge of the heart chakra and above the power center. So let me pour some energy there for everyone. Beautiful. Everyone take a deep breath and hold it for a moment. And release when you're ready. Okay, beautiful.
Awesome. And I thought there was something else, but I don't see it now. So awesome, awesome, awesome. Goodness. Yeah, I'm feeling that one now still. So me.
Yeah, I'm feeling some lingering melancholy after that. Like there's, for some reason, the experience or the, okay, what I'm picking up is in a few people, there's a feeling like joyful romantic relationships are too late for me. I'm too old for that. It should have happened 30 years ago. So let me kind of modify what I did with the belief system that it's never too late for joy. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. There we go. Because in at least one person, that sparked sadness. Like the feeling that you were left out of that because you were beyond a certain age.
Right. Okay. Awesome. Thank you. Thank you. They're saying, anybody else got any? Oh, hold on one second. Yeah, they're liking that one for sure. I thought there was some, did anybody else have a question? I thought there was something, but I can't find it now. So I was talking about, so when...
Yes, can I ask a question?
Oh, go ahead, Linda. Yeah,
thank
go
you.
Ahead.
Are those glyphs behind Patrick?
Oh, there's a very close friend of mine who's a painter. He lives in Kansas. His name's Christopher Prouty. And he's told me that they don't mean anything. He just drew what he saw. Now, he may have been tapping into something, and somebody has told me that they've seen those glyphs elsewhere. But when I asked him what they were, he said, oh, they're just squiggles that I saw in my mind, so I put them on the painting.
Okay, sorry.
That's okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Linda. Yeah, I have always wondered. It's like, oh, what are those behind you? All right, so I got no more questions that I can see or that I you know, part of me is like, So I wanted to ask you now about, like, you know, we're doing these attunements and these downloads, you know, what should we be doing after today? You know, because it's not just a matter of just receiving downloads, receiving attunements, and that's it. You know, we also have a responsibility to do something.
Yeah, so it's never a passive type of thing. So if if you have any belief systems that are picked up from like the Western medicine model, so you in Western medicine, you go to the doctor and you like lay on the table and they do something to you, they do the operation, and then they send you on your way. So you're like this passive receptacle for whatever the healing is. Okay, that's not the way energy healing works at all. You have to be actively engaged in whatever's going on. Otherwise, it just flows through you. So one of the things that I often say is there are no magic wands. Mm-hmm. Now, there are magic wands. There absolutely are spectacular magic wands, but you can only wield the magic if you're taking responsibility for making the magic happen. So there's a saying from, I think it's James 2 in the Bible, and I'm not Christian myself, but James 2 in the Bible, that faith without works is dead. That means that just because you believe that the healing potential is there, if you're not doing anything to activate it or actualize it in your life, you're not going to embrace it. Another way that I put this is quite often people will do like a belief sculpting session with me and assume that their thinking is going to change instantaneously without them having to monitor their thoughts. The fact of the matter is, I cannot think your thoughts for you. Only you can think your thoughts. And if you have a negative pattern of thinking, if you're constantly, you know, expecting the worst and stewing about bad things that happened 30 years ago, and you're constantly allowing yourself to shift into an energy of pessimism, well, that's you. That's you doing it. And you can have all the activations in the world, unless you take control of your thoughts, nothing's going to change. Another dimension of this that's really important is that a lot of times I'll have people come to me wanting me to like fix a problem that's in their life, but they don't want to change anything that created the problem in the first place. They're unwilling to shift their belief patterns. They're unwilling to shift their assumptions about the world. They just want the pain to go away. And you can make the pain go away, but that's always a temporary thing. Mm-hmm. If you wake up every single morning and you make yourself a cup of coffee and then you put a teaspoon of rat poison in the coffee every morning, and then you go to the doctor and say, I'm sick, I need a pill, my stomach hurts, would you give me medicine to help this? And the doctor gives you an antacid to help you with your stomach. You can take all the antacids in the world, until you stop drinking the poison every morning, you're going to be sick.
Right.
And the poison is your thoughts, your habitual patterns of behavior that are negative, that hold you back, that mm-hmm. cause you to spiral into stewing in anger or shame or jealousy or whatever. So
absolutely. Thank you. Renetta, what is your question? I know you're going to probably type it in the chat, because she's just asking me for if you can tune into her, but it's like, no, you have to ask something specific. you can't get off the is that an addiction, the same thoughts, is that an addiction?
Oh, wow. The whole topic of addictions is pretty big. Now, you can be addicted to certain energies. You know, we all know about chemical addictions like drugs and alcohol. We all know about process addictions, such as addiction to sex or addiction to eating and so forth. Those are hard. Those get wired into the brain. And until you change the brain chemistry and mm-hmm. the neural pathways in the brain, there's always that potential to slip into the addiction. The same thing is true with you, I guess you call them abstract state addictions. Addiction to drama, addiction to chaos, addiction to pessimism, addiction to negativity. If you are addicted to pessimism, for example, and you're one of those people that goes around just complaining about everything, you can never see the good in anything without seeing the bad in it as well, and that's what you focus on, and everything that you say is just catty or sour or mean, After a while, that habit gets wired into the brain. And if you were to not do that, it would feel really awkward and uncomfortable. So you do feel compelled to do it. So there are ways to clear addictions. And often it just, you can do an attunement to clear an addiction. So you can be addicted to negative thinking, definitely. For a lot of people, the negative thinking serves them in some way. And what a lot of, what happens a lot of times is that thinking negative thoughts about other people gives you a sense of superiority. That's a really common trap that people fall into. So you feel insecure about yourself. You feel like you're not quite important enough or you're invisible. And therefore, you go around putting other people down to make yourself feel better. Okay, that can develop into an addiction.
What if you're just, you know, addicted to negative thoughts about yourself or about your situation? So not necessarily about anybody else, but just you, you know, and the way that you behave or don't behave or the, what you've created or not created or, yeah.
Yeah, the same thing.
I don't, you know, for me, I don't really think it's an addiction per se to thoughts. I think it's just a habit. You've got
it's a habit, yeah.
You know, of thinking those thoughts and you can change that. So,
sure. Yeah.
All right.
Now, yeah, so it's kind of at a rudimentary level when you're talking about what's going on at the level of individual thoughts.
Yeah.
But some people are addicted to energetic patterns. Mm-hmm. And I've worked with a couple of clients who have an addiction to chaos. And whenever there's order, they just have to blow things up. They're compelled to do it.
Right.
You can have addiction to being dumped, you know, and everything that goes along with that.
Mm-hmm. And so how can we, Cindy's asking, how can we get rid of the pessimistic attitude? Can it be shifted easily? And
It can only be shifted with practice. It's a muscle that you need to practice. Yeah. Positive thinking is a muscle that must be practiced. And whenever you force yourself to think positive thoughts, it needs to be supported by the subconscious reprogramming. Now, so here's the thing. Like, positive thinking is like saying affirmations. Mm-hmm. And after you've said your affirmations enough times, it becomes encoded in your brain as a belief. So that's the theory behind affirmations.
Right.
You repeat the positive statement over and over again until it gets wired in your brain and it's an automatic belief. Mm-hmm. A lot of times affirmations don't work because your subconscious mind already disagrees with the affirmation. And whenever you say the affirmation, it says, yeah, right. And it feels like you do the affirmation, but there's this undertone of sarcasm that's right. Bubbling up from within. So you can say the affirmation 10 million times and not have a shift take place because the feeling internally is sarcastic. And it just reinforces the opposite belief.
Yeah.
So a way to help with that is to infuse your positive statements with emotion. You know, individual statements, or they're like thought waves. Your thought waves have a certain frequency that gets broadcast out into the universe. When you infuse your thoughts with emotion, you increase the amplitude of those thought waves. So mm-hmm. They become more powerful. And one of the problems that we face as human beings is that we just naturally tend to feel our negative thoughts with a lot more intensity than we think our positive thoughts.
Right.
So if you are angry about something, that might be like visceral. You might feel that in the very core of your body as you're thinking those negative thoughts about what just happened. But when something good happens to you, you might be neutral about it. So the vast majority of your energy is going into the negative thoughts, even if you're forcing yourself to think more positive thoughts. So it's all about infusing the emotion, setting your intentions, believing that your intentions are possible for you. Yeah, there's a whole...
That's a whole other program. Mm-hmm. So we're going to just take one more quick question from Randy. So Randy's got his hand raised. I'm going to go ahead and unmute you, Randy. Hello? Hello, hello? Randy? Are you there?
How's my mic?
There you go. Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay. Wow. You know, a lot of what you spoke about, I see an easy way to some of that understanding with the Rice experiment. And it takes us to Dr. Emoto's work, what we, you know, how we speak.
Randy, can you just speak up a little bit or a little bit more clearly? Because, no, I can't quite hear you that well.
I'm sorry. Okay. What you were saying, one of the ways I get there quick with people to share is the Rice experiment, which takes us to Dr. Emoto's work. And anybody can do it. You just put rice in three jars and put I love you and I hate you. Mm-hmm. Something like indifference. It's beautiful how simple that is. If you don't understand it already, the advanced concepts come through in a simple experiment. I'm learning the Kahil FQAD, which is demyelination and DNA damage from taking quinolones. I'm asking for help. I know that I've shifted my DNA now by doing something like a walk-in where I brought in a version of my soul from the time I'm well, overlaid it onto my soul now. So I'm doing okay with the DNA. What I'm trying to do is get my mitochondria, my Schwann cells, to more in balance. Could you check out my mitochondria, or where can you go from there? And thank you, Olivia.
I feel like you've done what you need to do. In fact, you might be trying too hard.
Oh, that takes me back to an interesting story.
Yeah, so let's just allow it to unfold with grace and ease on its own terms and its own timing, which will be faster than if you're trying to force it.
Yeah.
And a lot of times when you try to force something, you slow it down. And that's kind of what's happening here. It's almost like you're trying too hard to accomplish this goal. And by trying too hard, you're blocking it.
It's been a 13-year digression. Yeah. And now I'm trying to get back into balance with, it's funny. A long time ago, I was me creating, because I had set the intention. I wanted to be my most enlightened self. And then I was in the deep forest and this orb like Tinkerbell came over to me and shared two clear cognizances. Don't try to be your most enlightened self, because once you get there, the only thing you're going to want is to go back and forget and start over. Mm-hmm. So that day I went and had a cheeseburger. It was cool. It's all beautiful. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. Well, the way I see it, cheeseburgers are also part of God's creation. So,
yeah.
It's okay once in a while to have a cheeseburger.
Yeah. I mean, what I'm saying is that when you hold your do's and don'ts dogmatically, you kind of fight against them. So,
I've been bedridden. You know, I'm struggling to stay alive. At least now, this is the progress. I believe in my ability to survive, which puts me
perfect.
Now I have to deal with everything else, like normal, but it's still not normal. I can't walk.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you just kind of surrender and allow it to unfold, and it will unfold faster than forcing it.
Thank you for that.
It feels right to me.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Yes. Thank you, Randy.
Thank you for that. Laura, you're the best.
Thank you, Randy. So, 1 second. Renata is, you know, so Renata's just typing in, you know, she's not a negative person, which she's not, but she says, I think I've been too long trying to get out of the hole, with the hole meaning her negative thoughts, you know, or her pattern of thoughts, even though she's not a negative person at all, but sometimes those thoughts are just, you know, get her down that rabbit hole, and she's been trying to get out of that rabbit hole. And you know, just like Patrick was saying, maybe it's time to stop trying so hard.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with thinking a negative thought. It's a natural human thing. I think them every day. So, and you recognize that the negative thought isn't your reality, and you don't let it, you know, define you in your day. But what I'm picking up, there are a couple of people that have this energy that the when something bad happens, it becomes sticky, and we magnify We take things that are insignificant and we blow them up into something significant, and we take experiences that feel bad or are negative or that trigger us in some way and infuse that energy into the entire day. Mm-hmm. So like, there's this old saying that I'm really in love with that is, when somebody's having a bad day, the question is, did you really have a bad day, or did you have a bad 5 minutes that you milked for the entire day?
Yeah,
that's what happens.
Yeah,
you know, have something bad happen that if you just breathe through it and let it go and move on, then your day returns to equilibrium. But yeah, what we do is we stew and we think about it and we start playing in our mind what we should have said to the person who was rude to us, and then it colors everything in the entire day, mm-hmm, if not the entire week.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it's not bad to feel bad in that moment. It's not bad to have a negative thought. It's not bad to get angry with somebody who has stepped on your boundaries. Those are part of your emotional guidance system that will help you live a successful and fulfilling life. But when you fall down the rabbit hole and get stuck in the rabbit hole, that's where you imbalance yourself.
Yeah, exactly. So thank you for that, Renetta. And yes, you can definitely get out of that rabbit hole very easily.
Vanessa has some, okay, I can see. Oh, Vanessa, you say things to yourself that you would never say to somebody else.
Are you talking about Renetta?
Yeah.
Yeah,
Vanessa,
yeah,
you say things to yourself that you would never say to somebody else.
That's
so
true.
Think about that. Think about when you do something and you're mad at yourself, you will, you know, you'll say something to yourself that that is very powerful. That so just be aware of that. You know, yeah, treat yourself the way you would treat other people.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. And we do that a lot, you know, so Renata is not the only one. We all do that. You know, the way that we speak to ourselves is totally different than the way we would speak to a friend, a child, you know, a loved one, a colleague, you know, our clients. Right. So it's about time that we started to treat ourselves with that same respect and love and caring. Right. So thank you for bringing that up. Thank you. Yay. So again, I just want to tell everyone, please do take a look at the special offer that Patrick has, the Lightbridge Bootstrap program. Patrick loved it. He had a fun time creating it and implementing it. And we just want to take a moment, too, to talk about Patrick's new book. Patrick, you want to say a few things about it?
Yeah, I wish I had a copy with me. Okay, so it took me a very long time to write this book. Because the first time I wrote it, it was like super technical and it read like a textbook and it was impersonal, and the people that I showed it to absolutely hated it. So then I rewrote it, making it really super personal, and it came off as like arrogant and self-centered. So I think I finally found the perfect balance. So I've been writing it for like a year and a half, and it finally came out about 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. So it's called Brain Cells, Escape Your Mental Prisons. It's available on Amazon.
Yeah, it's on Amazon. And anywhere else? Is it on your website too, or just on Amazon?
It's at Lightbridge Living in a PDF format.
Okay.
So, you know, through my website, patrickprohaska.com, you can find Lightbridge Living, and you can download the PDF version of it. It's also available on Kindle, through the Amazon store, so you can put it on your device. Mm-hmm. And eventually I'll put it on Ingram Spark so it can go into bookstores, but that's a little bit down the line.
Right. Awesome.
So, so the book is all about the ways we limit ourselves. Mm-hmm. It's about how the brain functions and how the brain in its normal functioning can keep us stuck in certain patterns of energy that don't serve us and how to let those go.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Thank you. So, you know, we were talking about the mental prisons of, you know, worry, anxiety, negative thoughts, all that kind of stuff. So this would be a good complement to all that, right?
It would
definitely give you some good information and processes. So,
divided up into different sections. The first part is all about authenticity, that is, you know, stripping off the masks that we wear about how to navigate a world where people are actually, these days, people are rewarded for lying. Mm-hmm. So that's what the first section is all about. The second section is about taking off your goggles so that you can see clearly and stop seeing based on your biases and stereotypes and so forth. And then the third part is about removing your body armor, which I was talking about with, I think it was Delight, removing the body armor that causes you to have that brace for impact energy. And then the next part is on victimhood, about removing like that invisible target on your back, that kick me sign that's painted on your back. And then there are two other sections after that.
Awesome. Thank you. So Giovanna just says Bootstrap is one of my favorite training courses.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. That's awesome.
Awesome. Thank you, Giovanna. And take a look at the program, the course that's available at alara.at/show/Patrick8. And there's a lot in there, lots of attunements, lots of wisdom and teachings as well to help you get clearer and to help you start to move forward and get unstuck so that you can create the life that you want, have more joy, have more peace, have more ease, have more financial prosperity, whatever it is that you're desiring that you're stuck with, right? Because, you know, we're all stuck in different areas, right? And so this program can help you to start to get unstuck so that you can have more clarity, more ease, more freedom. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And thank you everybody for all your questions. I think I got to everybody, but I may not, but thank you, thank you, thank you for all your questions and comments.
Can I add one more thing? I saw what Reverend Randy wrote, and I really think that's very important for everyone. Sometimes when we're stuck, we end up living in survival mode. Mm-hmm. And one of the tragedies of living in survival mode is that we forget our divinity. So always have memory of your divinity.
We are divine, right? My voice is going. Why is my voice going? But yes, we are divine. And it's a matter of, you know, we don't have to just survive here. We can thrive and we can have joy and we can have peace. We can have ease. I mean, I know for myself, I've experienced so much more happiness and joy, you know, in the past few years than all my life before that. You know, and
this is crucial because when you forget your divinity, you begin thinking of God or your higher power or source as something that's lofty and distant and far away from you that you're disconnected from. Mm-hmm. And I know there are lots of religious traditions and so forth that teach that, you know, if you were to stare into the face of God, you'd be burnt to a crisp, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
You are God. God is inside you. So.
Exactly. Yes, absolutely. And you know, part of the purpose for life is to reconnect to that or just connect to that, to know that, right?
To reconnect to it, but also to realize that you were never, ever, ever disconnected from it in the first place.
Yeah. But people, you know, anyways, yes, people have a hard time understanding that they are God and that they're always connected. And that's the thing. We forget that. We're always, always connected, never, never separate. You know, it's just our thoughts, you know, that teach us that we're separate or the collective or the, you know, the world teaches us that we're separate when we're truly not. So come back to your heart, come back to your core essence of you and, you know that you are God, know that you are divine. And when you start to do that, your whole life starts to change and it's amazing. So thank you, Patrick, so much. This was, again, so much fun. I was really feeling a lot of the energy from the attunements, you know, so I'm just going to suggest to everybody drink some water, walk around, you know. And Patrick, do you want to disconnect?
Yeah, let me disconnect from everyone energetically. As I'm disconnecting from you, ground yourself in whatever way you like the most. And that's really important because sometimes when people work with me, they get dizzy and lightheaded Yeah, there we go. Okay, thank you.
Awesome. Yes, thank you. And thank you, everyone. And until next time, may you continue to be blessed with an abundance of joy, peace, love, happiness, prosperity, and radiant health. Sending you all much love and blessings always.
Thank you.
Bye for now. Bye.